Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Give me my verse, Jacob, if you would. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. You can go ahead and be seated. There's a lot of views of this scripture, a lot of debate over what the field is, who the buyer is, what's for sale, how it got for sale. One verse can create a whole lot of debate. Isn't that amazing? Some people say that the treasure is Jesus, and this is calling us to sell all that we have so that we can buy him, so that we can buy the field. The problem with that is we don't have anything to sell. We're broke. Amen. We're broke by sin. So I struggle with that concept. The other concept is this is Jesus seeing us in the field, sells everything he has so that he may purchase us. We read in Matthew in several different places that the field is the world. And man, when I read it like this, it really does show the love that our Savior had for us. How much love did he have that he paid the price for the whole field? Now, let me say that like this. Jesus paid the price for the whole world. The whole world. Knowing this, knowing that some people would never accept the price that he paid, but he paid it anyway. Why did he pay that? Because he saw you and he saw me, and he paid the price anyway. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto this treasure hid in a field. Let me say it like this. Jesus is mesmerized by his bride. Now, I want us to understand that, because that is so hard for me to understand. It's so hard for me to understand that he's mesmerized by me. That I am truly, as David would say, the apple of his eye. Because the reason I struggle with that is because I know me. I know my intentions. I know my follow through. I know my system. And I know this. I know that I fail sometimes. And the struggle is, why would he do all of this? Not only knowing that some people wouldn't accept it, but other people would and still fall short of knowing how much of a price he paid for us. I know this is simple. I know this is basic. But we need reminded of this fact. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible really does tell me so. In all of our faults and all of our failures, he loves us anyway. And he's chosen to use us as a vessel. That was my opening verse. Take me to Ezekiel 47:1. And afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. This is talking about the temple of God. The waters that issued forth from the temple of God. Then brought he me out of the way, out of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river there were many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issued out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. There is a story. There is a lesson in here for us that we need to grasp on this Sunday morning, because there is a dry desert world out there that needs some water to flow from within the church under the threshold that eventually will become a river that cannot be crossed. My question is this, and I have argued this, and I have wondered this, and I've prayed about this for as long as I can remember being a Christian. Is it my job to go out and bring people in, or is it my purpose to have something here that draws them in? The answer has to be the church has to get where she needs to be so that something begins to issue out of the temple and goes to where they are that brings them to where we are. Let me say it like this. We cannot afford to not have revival in our church and life-giving flow in our church, because though your life may be going pretty good right now, there's somebody sitting out there waiting for somebody to allow that water to flow to where they are, and it must begin in the temple of the Almighty God. If there's no life from anywhere else, where else could it come from but from us? Can you say amen? He said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He said, when I'm put in my rightful place, he said, all the nations will flow into it. It doesn't have to start out anything big, but it begins to multiply. As it begins to move, it begins to touch, and it begins to heal, but it must begin somewhere. Everybody's waiting on somebody to do something. And it's time for the church to rise up and do what she's been called to do. Don't relax because the political landscape has changed in your favor. Don't relax. As a matter of fact, the church should be more vigilant now than she has ever been. Why, preacher? Because it seems like in those times that when the church relaxes, then things become problematic. But we must now have more fervor than we have ever had in our life. Why? Because I believe that day is rapidly approaching, and before long, the church will rise up and bear out who he really is and issue out these healing waters. How does it start? I'm glad you asked. He said, my house will be called the house of prayer. It's time for the church to start praying again. Not thinking scriptures, not just meditating little tiny once in a while scripture or verses, but where we get down and we get serious about our talks and our relationship with God. Can you say amen? The Bible says, Doug, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if our prayers aren't availing, there can only be a few things wrong. One, we're not righteous, or two, we're not praying fervently. Because if we pray fervently and the righteous call out, his ear is not deaf, that it does not hear. I don't know what you're praying for, but I'm praying for revival. Revival for me? No, I'm already alive. I'm praying for revival to issue out outside of these church doors, because there's some kid sitting in a school system that has no hope, and I want somebody to take Jesus to that kid. But it's got to start here. If this isn't living, then what we take to them isn't living. I don't know how you're feeling, but man, I'm feeling rambunctious again. So much so that I'd given this up. I'd given this up, but man, I'm just, I don't even know if I should talk. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'm the kind of guy that likes to know the other side. I want to see where you're coming from. I want to see what you got to say. Because I know that my way is right. Let me say that again. I know that this word that I preach is right. So every time somebody wants to take a stand against Scripture or against God or against the way He's got it all set up, I ask them how they explain it all. And here's what I found out. Every single time I allow a person to describe the way they view the world and do all that, every time they will find themselves in a trap and they have no answer for what they are proposing. Do you know what I'm talking about? There has to come a point where you put God in there. And if you have no God to put there, then you have a hole that cannot be filled. So I allow him to talk, and I just seen this guy, and he was coming out against Christianity, and he was coming out, and I said, "What's your take?" I said, "What's your worldview?" He was so educated, and he wanted to propose all the. And somebody asked him, "Why do you do this?" He said, "Because I want these people to start thinking more critically." And I said, "What is your worldview? I'm curious. What's your worldview?" He said, "Live and not harm." I'm like, "That's not a worldview, man. That's a motto." I didn't say that. I was nicer than that. I wanted to just say, "Well, you're goofy. That ain't what I'm asking. You're so smart." I said, "No, I want you to know. I want you to explain to me the conception of this world, where it came from. What do you think happened? What do you believe in? Do you believe in evolution? Do you believe in natural selection? Do you believe? He said, "I don't believe in anything. I look at the science." I said, "Okay, then what's the most obvious thing what's your best take on the observation that we are taking? Tell me, no answer. I'm still waiting on an answer. You know why? Because he doesn't have an answer. You know why he doesn't have an answer? Because there comes a point, and I don't care where you draw your conclusion, there comes a point where it comes back to faith. Can I get real with you for a minute? If you believe in a Big Bang, you believe that by faith. Big Bang's a religion. Amen? You know why? You got to go back to where there was absolutely nothing and something happened and everything came out of nothing. And you know what they teach us? After it's all done, we go back to nothing. So something came out of nothing, and then that something turns back into nothing. But there comes a point where you got to explain to me where the bang came from. So I'm asking. I think that his title was Heretic Theology. Heretical Theology. And I said, "What you're telling me is what you're not. Tell me what you are. Tell you where we're at in our society." Man, I feel the burden of the Lord right now because I'm going to tell you where we're at in our society. We're in a place where the devil is working overtime to convince people that there is no God. Because there is no God, there is no consequences. Where's Josh at? Josh told me this years ago, and man, it just stuck with me. One of those comments that just sticks with me. He said, "You know what the problem is with healthcare? We all complain about hospitals and they don't care and this don't care and they don't care." He said, "When you take Jesus out of a society, people stop caring about each other." And he said, "It's not necessarily, you can't really blame the facility, you blame the people in the facility." But when you go deeper than that, you'll find out that we live in a world where people don't hardly care about anybody. Oh, come on, we've all seen the videos where the person is being wounded and people, and instead of helping, you know what we do now? We record the agony. We live in a world where people stop caring about each other. And the only thing that's going to fix that is for the church to allow the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and it get contagious, and we touch people's lives so that they understand what love really is. We got a lot of work to do, amen? So we don't have time to not pray. We don't have time to not get in His Word and understand His truth. We don't have time for any of the rest of that stuff because there's a lot that needs to be done right now if we're going to get it done. You say, well, preacher, that's not my goal. Man, I'm okay where I'm at. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I punched my ticket. I'm just waiting for the Bible. I don't know. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to somebody that says, He saved me for a reason. He gave this to me for a reason. And I believe my soul is about to catch on fire and burn for His kingdom. Amen. It's disgusting what some of these kids have to deal with. Nice service, wonderful little service. We walk out because we're blessed. We're blessed people. Are we blessed? Raise your hand if you're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. And we come to church and we have a nice, neat little service. And man, the songs are great. Man, they can sing. Man, we hear a nice little sermon, and don't get too radical. Don't get too crazy. My pastor used to preach to me about being radical. Did he not? But being radical, getting radical. I was at work one day. His son worked with me, and we're working together, and we're talking. He said, man, he said, as churches begin to die, he said, I just wonder years down the road where you'll end up. I said, man, it's hard to tell because I'm going to tell you right now, I could worship anywhere. I don't know about you, but I could worship anywhere. Is that all right? You want to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness? I'm right there. I can raise my hand to that. If you want to sing, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. I'm right there with you. I can go through all of it. I can work. Because you know what? It's not about your style of music. It's about the King that I know. So I'm trying to convince Him. I'm trying to convince Him that I can worship Him. And He said, yeah, but I know you. I said, you do? He said, yeah, you'd be sitting in one of them dead churches and they'd be up there doing their little hymns and you'd finally just break out and say, I can't take it anymore. I spit all over you. He said, I can't take it anymore. I got to praise Him because He's worthy and this ain't enough. So I don't know, but I know this. I know He's worthy in that church. He's worthy in this church. And when we realize that, there is going to be a flow that issues out of the temple. I'm nervous. We're going to get done with this service, and we're not going to think about church till Wednesday night. Because we've punched our ticket. But yet, one of these kids is going to go to school. They're going to be mistreated because people don't understand the love of God. The reason they don't understand the love of God, man, I'm going to preach on you today. It's because we're doing nothing more than the world does besides attend a church service. Well, I went to church Sunday. I went to Cracker Barrel after. I went home and I got ready for work on Monday. There's more to your calling than that. Well, I did go midweek. I made it midweek. It was tough, but I got there. And you know what happens on Wednesday? Some of us are so relieved because we got all the time off before Sunday morning. There's more to your calling than that. You got to understand, you're the treasure that he sold everything for. I said, you're the treasure. Listen, when he died with nothing. So much nothing that he had to borrow a tomb. Let me tell you how much he gave up to buy you the treasure. He gave it all up. He sold it all out. He had to borrow a tomb to be buried in. Are you hearing me? Why did he do that? Because he saw a treasure in you. He didn't, listen to me. He didn't just see a piece of wood or stubble or hay. He saw a treasure in you. That treasure abides in you. You're the treasure. So what do we do with that? Where do we go from here? A little uncomfortable, a little icky this morning, a little yucky. Why don't you just tell us how good Jesus is, preacher? Tell us we're saved so we can hit each other on the way out and say, see you later. Because we need God to move in this community. And it's got to start in the church. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We talked about it Wednesday. If you weren't here, God's called us to lay hands on people. Amen? We can't lay hands on people because we're holding on to stuff. There's things in our way that we can't lay. We're going to have to lay some things down so that we can lay our hands on people. He's called us as a body of believers. I could give you the points of justification and talk about how, but I want to challenge you this morning. That we got to get our prayer life on fire for God. If your prayer life is on fire for God, I commend you. But if it's not, we should be at the altar before this service is over. Why? This is not about me. It's about him. The battle is not mine, said little David. The battle belongs to the Lord. But he's chosen to use me. I don't know what kind of soldier you want to be, but I want to be the kind of soldier that is effectual for the kingdom. Let me tell you how we're not going to get this done. We're not going to get this done by church on Sunday, church on Wednesday, and live our life, and God just becomes alongside of what we're doing. No, sir. Thank God for prayer service on Tuesday night. There was a lot more people here. Am I right? Where you at? There's a lot more people here Tuesday night. Man, our prayer service has got to grow. Your prayer life has got to grow. Amen. Why? They need it. They need it. They need us to be the church. They don't even know they need us, but they need us. He knows they need us. That's why he sold out to purchase us. How many people in here are washed in the blood? If you are washed in the blood, how many people are filled with the Spirit? If you're washed in the blood and you're filled with his Spirit, do you understand who you are? It shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moves whosoever, whithersoever the river shall come, shall what? Wherever the river goes, what's going to happen? It's going to bring what? It's going to bring life. Some of us can't make it from Sunday to Sunday without having a re-resurrection because we done died and we need resurrected again. We can't bring life because we can't. Oh, preacher, preach to me. Bring me something. Get me to Wednesday. You got to be stronger than that. You got to be greater than that. You're the treasure. You are the treasure. You are the treasure. You got the goods. You got the gold. You got the silver. You got all the precious stones. And we need to use that to bring life to our community. We got to wake up. Y'all are so excited for me to say, come on, musicians. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I really do, Jason. I appreciate you. Because you know what happens after some Sundays? These guys go over to the assisted living. Extracurricular. Extracurricular. After Sunday. How many people are excited to go eat after church today? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. I am. I'm hungry. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. So boy, 1 o'clock rolls around. It's like, yeah, man, where are we eating at? Where are we eating at? Maybe y'all have seen this before. I'd never seen it until this last week. And it said, you know why women have a really hard time deciding where to eat? Because the first time they decided what to eat, they ruined the whole human race. I didn't write it. I just told you what it said. We have talked about this, Darren, for years. Dealt with the subject for years. I know my job as a pastor. I know my job as a pastor. I know what it is. It's to feed you. Spit on you sometimes. Your job is to make disciples. Your job is to make disciples. Your job is to make disciples. We're still trying to prove our point. There's only one thing that's going to get this job done, and that's the love of God working through us. That's worth saying again. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us, will get this job done. Because when you have that kind of love, it's not self-seeking love. There's a difference between denying yourself and self-denial. We got to get this thing outside the threshold of the door. I don't know exactly how it worked, but evidently it just kept pouring out. Kept pouring out. You say, oh, you know what? I don't know. I don't know about counting. I don't know about counting. He pulled out a line. And he said, let's measure our progress. How do we measure our progress? Well, most of us have a conscience, and it measures it for us. Can you say amen? When you ain't doing what you know you ought to do, your conscience messes with you, don't it? And it measures it up for you. But there is a measuring line. He said, let's go out and see. He said, oh, 1,000 cubits, man, it's ankle deep. And you know what's crazy? We would be so excited to get ankle deep. Some people don't want to go any deeper. Ankle deep, man, look where we're at. We could stop and rejoice because in there, it's not even up to the ankle. Look how far we've grown. Look how much we've done. But that's not the end. He said, let's go farther. He goes farther. It's to the knee. Can you imagine knee deep services? I mean, that's, man, I'm telling you, oh, man, the Spirit, we was in there knee deep. That wasn't the end of it either. He keeps measuring till it becomes a river that cannot be crossed. What does that mean? That means that when we get together and get this thing going, then human effort can't cross it. How many people know somebody in this community, your kid, somebody that goes to a, that sits in a, that really needs God to move on their life? Raise your hand. Look around. Look around this. Every one of us knows somebody that needs to be touched. So what are you going to do? Well, preacher, I'm going to go to Cracker Barrel and then I'm going to go home and watch my favorite program and get up in the morning and go to work. That's what I'm going to do about it. It ain't going to get it done. It ain't going to get it done. I need somebody that wants to get it done. Because, man, when we get together, I can't describe it. I don't know how it works. I wish I did. We've given it labels: corporate worship, private worship. I love private worship. But boy, when we come together, something happens. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I even come to church without even, I just show up. Not y'all. Y'all come through his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise every service. Sometimes I walk in the back door, especially on Wednesday nights. I walk in and go, start shaking hands. Hey, how are you? God bless you. Good to see you. How are you? I'm like, whew. I'm tired, boss. But no, we come excited every service. You know what? Sometimes I come in here, I don't want to raise my hand. You say, but you're the pastor. So what? I'm human too. I get tarred. And man, I get in here and they start singing and I'm like, you know what? He's worthy anyway. You start singing about the cross and you start singing about death, burial, resurrection. You start singing some of these songs, man, that you sing about Jesus. And I say, you know what? He's worthy. I know I'm tired, but he's worthy. I know I'm weak, but he's worthy. I know it didn't go my way today, but he's worthy. Amen. That happens corporately. Yeah. Somehow your praise begins to overflow. How many people are full of the Spirit of God? Well, preacher, I'm about 7/8. Go ahead, show me your gauge. Show me. Somebody show me where you're at on the Spirit. You don't even know right now, do you? Anybody? Come on, show me. Let me see it. Eddie, where you at? Show me where you're at. Full. Full. He's about half. Come on, musicians. Everybody said, whew. Pastor, so mean to us Sunday. You need it. I need it. Don't worry. I'm mean to me before I'm mean to you. What'd you say?
The harvest is ready, but laborers are few.
Laborers really are few. The harvest is ripe. Man, think about that. You know what that means? That means they're waiting for us to show up and gather them in. We shall come rejoicing. I used to sing that song in church when I was a kid. They say, bringing in the sheaves. I didn't know what a sheave was. I just sang it. Don't act like y'all knew what sheaves were either. Y'all still singing Saved a Wrench like me. Must be a Christian wrench. Yeah, I know what that means. Brittany, he's waiting on us to do more than what we've been doing. So here's what I want you to do. Here's your challenge. Pray, pray, pray. Say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What else do you want me to do? What can I do? Do I have to give up absolutely everything? He did. For you. Preacher, I got these guilty pleasures. They're stopping God from moving through you to the capacity that he wants to move. Say amen or oh me, either one. It's okay. I'll say oh me, oh me, oh me. Preach it, preacher. I need it. Starts in the church. Start in the church. How would you grade your worship today? You personally. It's on you. Don't look around. Don't look at nobody else. How'd you do on worship today? Well, I don't know. That one song. Eh. I don't even know what that was all about. Catching your gaze and I don't know. I don't know what's that all about. I don't know. How'd you do? How'd you do on your worship today? How many people think you did? If you were grading your worship, how many people would give yourself a 95% on your worship today? You gave 95%. 95%. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Nobody gave at least 95. How many gave 100? Raise your hand if you gave 100. Let me start there. 100. Nobody gave 100% today. Nobody? Oh, you did, but you don't want to raise your hand because then everybody will think, right? Wait a minute. Did y'all raise your hand? You didn't give 100 today? What happened was, did you give 100?
I'm just trying to be humble.
95? Anybody 80? Anybody give 80? Come on, 80? Somebody give about 80? We got one gave about 80. 70. Anybody here give about 70%? You are 70? We got some 70s in here. 60? Anybody get 60? 50. Come on, Eddie, you about half. 50? How many 50%ers we got? Raise your hand if you gave about 50% today. 40? 30? 20? 10? 10? How many people didn't even try? Why are you doing this to us, preacher? I'm going to tell you why. Because we got a lot of room to improve. Because whether you gave 10 or 90, you didn't give it all. He did. But here at City on a Hill, we are merciful. So we're going to give you a chance to totally redeem yourself. Yeah. You get a chance to worship him again at the end of service. I don't want no 10 percenters. If you're going to be 10, just stay sitting down. If you're going to be 50, just stay sitting down. He's already up. I don't know what y'all doing. If you're going to be 70, just stay sitting down. But if you want God to move in this place so that it flows out of these doors to touch somebody's life, would you stand up and praise? I don't even if you don't like the song, would you worship him anyway?